Okay. Well, I had a short night here last night, but I was just trying to work through the film there this morning and, you know, make some decisions by in the next 24 hours. So, probably talk about it today and then, you know, finalize things tomorrow so we get a good night's sleep. Get a chance to take stock not only of our team, but for the rest of the league. If there's anything else in play, also take a look at the guys, you know, like, banged up and missed the fit. See what they're at. Our deal for today.
So it was a busy stretch there with the three games and the 9 or 10 days and not a lot of practice time in between. How'd you feel about how the team was able to come together and handle it and continue to prepare for the regular season?
Well, we did the best we could. I think we made some progress. We definitely made progress. We kind of worked guys in different stages. Guys played more in some games than others. Some guys practiced more than others did. Kind of balanced that out. So I think we're able to keep moving ahead.
Bill, I wonder if you could talk about how the three games in 10 days affected the normal procedure of evaluating talent and maybe starting to make some decisions on guys.
I don't think I follow you.
Well, you had more games in a much shorter time than you normally would. I mean, so how did that affect your normal process of evaluating people, being able to see them in ways that you normally do when you've only got one game a week, and maybe making some early decisions, if you will, on some people?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times in a, if you're playing once a week, then you have a chance to kind of practice everybody and play everybody in different increments during that game. So the advantage of that is you get to see those players. Let's just say if you did it in all three games, you would get to see those players against three different schemes, three different, you know, types of matchups with the other team. Where we kind of played a little bit of a split squad thing the last 3 weeks. Probably the amount of plays is about the same or close to the same. But it was more segmented. So if we played, you know, a group of people in the Philadelphia game and didn't play people in that game, and then we played another group of people in the Tampa game, those other guys got very few reps in that game. Some didn't play at all. And then last night we had another group of guys that didn't play, and then heavier reps to a similar group that played in the Philadelphia game. So that's how we try to manage. I think overall it probably worked out to about the same number of plays would be my guess. But it just, you know, you just didn't see some guys against Philadelphia. You didn't see some guys against Tampa. You didn't see some guys against the Giants. So just compared to last year's.
Yeah. Thank you.
Preseason games and practice-wise, you know, again, some of the same things. There were some practices where we were able to, you know, really get everybody involved and have a good, you know, well-balanced practice where everybody split up the reps. And then there were other practices where some guys took more reps than others did, you know, because those are the guys that were playing in the game, or because those guys just played in the game and we wanted to back off of them a little bit and kind of work the other group. So it was a long answer, but
that's thank you.
The best way I can explain it. Yeah.
Well, I know you talked a little bit about it earlier, but you know, in the schedule that was really condensed over the past 9 or 10 days, I guess one benefit might be the fact that you have an extra day before the final roster moves have to be made. All right. I should really ask, is that a benefit to you and your staff and scouting department to sort of be able to stew over some of these decisions for an extra 24 hours?
I don't know. I think it's marginal if it is. As we've talked about, this, we've been aware of this, of the roster reduction dates for several months now, so it isn't like just a couple of months. You know, been thinking about it. We've played people so that we could try to evaluate the competition at different spots, not only between two players at the same position, but between two players at different positions relative to their overall value to the team in the game. Also trying to evaluate their development, where they are now, but maybe where we think they'll be a month from now, maybe even a year from now, relative to what point they are in their career, so forth. So, you know, again, I would say that day, if anything, is marginal.
Bill, in your time with the Patriots, I think we've seen you keep as few as two quarterbacks on the roster and as many as four if we go back to 2000. Do you have a number that you're particularly most comfortable with, assuming that you have the quarterbacks that you're comfortable with?
Well, I think when you get to let me answer it this way. I think when you get to, you know, a certain point of your roster, you know, you look at whatever the number is, called 46. Those are the guys that are going to go to the game. Those are the guys that are going to play. Probably in that group, you have a couple players that may be injured. So to start the season, maybe they wouldn't be able to play, but eventually you think they'll be healthy and they will be able to play. But I mean, those are the guys that are going to really play. And then, so let's call it maybe 50 players. I don't know. Whatever the number is, it's somewhere over 46 and less than 53, but like whatever that number is. And then you have basically depth and, you know, insurance for your team. So you can have a player on your team that is on the 53-man roster, but he's not going to play in the game until he can get to the 46. And then what are the criteria that would get him onto the 46-man roster? Is it special teams? Is it an injury? Is it the development of him because he's just inexperienced? Do you feel like he'll be able to eventually grow into that role? And then you also have the eight players on the practice squad, whoever they are, whether they're from this roster or maybe they could come from another roster, like Nick McDonald and Matt Copa did last year. We've seen that before with other players. So those players are also depth because they're practicing with you and they go to your meetings every week. Seen them be activated as late as Saturday afternoon for a Sunday game. So until those guys actually get to the game, they're really depth. It comes down to a question of where you want to carry your depth in terms of what it costs financially, what it costs in terms of opportunity. If you keep a person with depth here, then does that leave you short somewhere else? Well, of course it does. And which players can you control? Well, you can control the ones that are on the 53. You can control the practice squad players to some degree, but not totally. And then there are the players that are off the roster that you don't really have any control over. But we all know that there are going to be players not on a team that who are going to play football this year for us or somebody else. And so it's a combination of all those things. And they're interrelated. It's not just about one position. I don't think you would, you know, make too many decisions just based on, well, this is the way it's got to be at this spot. It's all interrelated. Who are the players? What are the other needs on the team? What are the other circumstances? You know, and so forth. So I'd say there's no real set formula for that. I can't imagine that we would have four quarterbacks on the roster. I think that happened in 2000. Kind of a unique situation. We had really two-third quarterbacks, if you will, very different, you know, between Brady and Bishop. So, you know, one of them could have been on the practice squad. I don't think Bishop was practice squad eligible, but I can't remember. But in any case, we could have carried one of those guys on the practice squad. But again, when you have 53 players, if you're going to have an inactive group anyway, you know, it really doesn't matter whether the guy's on the practice squad or on the 53-man roster. If he's inactive, he's not going to play in the game. So then the question is, as an organization, which players do you want to protect? You know, you can protect the ones on the 53. To some degree, you can't protect the ones on the practice squad. So, you know, in that particular case, that's why we didn't put Brady on the practice squad, because we wanted to make sure that we had him not so much for that year, but for the following year. So, you know, those, again, another long answer, but those are all the considerations. They apply to every position. They really apply to, you know, really every player after you get past the first, whatever that number is, guys you know that you're going to the game with, you know they're going to play for you. You know that you want not only at the on the roster but at the game. Then it's the rest of the group that you have. There are a lot of other considerations when coming to play. We'd like to keep more than 53. Keep 61 when you have the practice squad, but there's other players that we'd like to keep working with that we just aren't going to be able to do that. So we have to try to decide the best combination. What do we do that's best for the team? And, of course, that will include, at least in conversation, I don't know whether it will actually happen, but at least in conversation, that will include players that aren't on our team right now that come from other sources one way or another.
You've got a young, versatile group of running backs. What did you like what you saw out of them over the last month or so?
They've all improved. They've all improved. I mean, really, the only experienced player we had there was Danny. Ridley played a little bit last year, but not much. Shane didn't play hardly at all in his training camp, missed the majority of the season. And of course, Baldwin and Demps weren't here. Now, Catani was here for a few weeks and then was called to service off the practice squad. So, really, only one player has had any significant regular season playing time in that group. So they've all gotten a lot of reps, a lot of opportunities. They have a lot to learn, both offensively and their role in the kicking game. I think we've gotten a good evaluation of those players. They've all shown up well at one point or another. They've all done things that they obviously need to improve on, but that's a lot different group than we had a couple of years ago. Ben Jarvis is running back. We had, you know, Sammy Morris and Kevin Hall, Fred Taylor, and, you know, that group of guys, that whole position turned over completely to a much, much younger group, which has advantages.
Bill, you're almost up against the deadline in terms of deciding what to do, I would think, about Brian Waters. Is there any reason to believe that things might be different tomorrow than they are today about his availability?
Yeah, I don't have any comment on that. I'll just say that on, you know, any personnel decisions, whatever they are, we'll always do what feels best for the football team.
Yep.
Bill, you were extremely complimentary of the work that Jermaine Cunningham did when it came to the off-season program. Now that training camp and the preseason is in the rearview mirror, would you say that he was able to carry that over from the spring into the summer sessions?
Sure. Yes, I sure would.
What specifically stood out for you about the play of Jermaine over the course of training camp and into the preseason?
Well, I would say overall he's been at a higher level. Came to camp in great condition. He worked hard in the offseason. He got faster, stronger, more explosive, worked on his techniques. Worked extremely hard and came to training camp, and that work and those improvements showed up. They showed up in practice, showed up from early in camp to all four preseason camps. It's a little bit of everything. That's good. It wasn't just one thing. There's more position flexibility than he's had for us in the past. We've asked him to do more of a different thing, showing that he can do that more production.
Big final question for Coach.
Well, is there anything that you hope to accomplish as a team over the next few days before you really settle into the regular season schedule?
Sure, yeah. I think there are some things that we need to do that are Patriot things that don't relate to any specific opponent that we play, just things that we need to work on that we haven't really been able to do so far in training camp. And then there are other things that we need to work on relative to the early part of our season, specifically Tennessee, but there are other things early in the season. We know we're going to have to, we think we're going to have to use or defend, or just haven't shown up yet for one reason or another, preseason games or in our practices. So I will try to get the jump on those and keep, not really get the jump on them. Been working on them, but keep working on them, just that they haven't come up in games yet, and situational plays and things like that. Start to get the jump on Tennessee on the field. Get totally into them, but they're our next opponent. That's the one that counts, so things that we could do that apply to them in that game will be emphasized as well.
All right, thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
Okay, great.